Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, here we are. Friday morning, we get together and we chat, and we've got a listening audience out there which we welcome, and I always enjoy it.
Bob, is inflation as scary as so many people make it out to be?
Well, that's a very intriguing point, because you had extraordinary events come in where, because of the COVID hysteria, they shut down the global economy. And then, of course, all the central bankers got busy in doing the only thing they can do, which is hump the money supply. So you, and all of this was during the culmination of a great financial bubble, maybe number six in the series. So it's been fascinating. And what you get with a regular great financial bubble is, of course, you have a business expansion in the final stages. You have excited stock investors bidding up real estate and stuff like that. And with a business expansion, you get commodities going up. But this one, hey, they really, with the global lockdown and humping the money supply, it really got the rate of inflation going the highest in 40 years. But it's not going to continue. And this is what we emphasized last summer when, you know, natural gas and crude oil and uranium, all this stuff were going straight up. And actually, in June last year, published The Bear Gets Everything, including energy prices. And, of course, they did come down. So this is what the outline is, Jim. Following every previous great financial bubble, you've gone into a lengthy contraction, and it's essentially shedding debt that nobody can service. Junk bonds go to no bid. There's defaults all over the place. Countries default, all that sort of stuff, and you end up with one of the patterns in a post-bubble contraction has been that the senior currency becomes chronically firm against other currencies and most commodities for most of the time. And this is what's ahead of us. So where there are some people who are discovered what inflation was in the 1960s, like James Dines, that inflation was purchasing power of the dollar going down and goods and services going up, but they didn't include in that study inflation in financial assets. And, of course, this is what every great bubble is inflation in financial assets. And ours was the greatest in history, because you just look at the bond prices being inflated to the moon. Well, you had in Germany their 10-year note get down to a negative yield in history. There never has been a negative nominal yield. So that put the bond market into orbit. And then on the stock side, of course, you had the crypto Bitcoin phenomenon, where you had large cap entities making huge, huge gains. So it definitely was a financial bubble. So, as I said, this was number six, and all five previous ones were followed by a lengthy contraction where the main feature was weak prices. And here's an example, the 1873 bubble, of course, the copper and base metal prices were up, and in the States there were some new discoveries and new production coming on in Montana and some big copper kings, and they got together and tried to form a cartel and drove mining and smelting stocks up to the moon. So we ended up years ago with an index of mines and smelters. I think it's from 1872 on. And where it got up to 450, it eventually, in 10 or 15 years, was down to about 30. So the base metal side, following a bubble, doesn't do so well. But this is where we want to come around to gold, because one of the signposts for a great bubble is where copper's real price goes up, gold's real price goes down in the bubble, which it did do, and now the real price is adjusted by the consumer price inflation, has turned up. But there's a shortcut on it where we take the price of gold and divide it by the CRB, commodities, and that really tells a good story. And it's easy to understand that if gold is going up relative to the CRB, the CRB commodities represents the cost of mining. And to get even more specific, you can go to taking the price of gold and deflating it by crude oil prices. And that gives you then the cost of energy relative to the bullion price. And the energy cost relative to gold have fallen to something like 60%. So if you're operating a mine, and it's about 60% of operating costs relate to energy, you got to run the diesel, huge ore carriers, you got to do the drilling, you got to, blasting relates to hydrocarbons, and then you got to run the mill and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, energy costs are very important. And for the last few months, crude oil has really dropped relative to gold. So it should be beginning to work in there. So this provides a different reason for owning gold stocks. The standard reason since the 60s is the Fed's evil. I agree. It's going to depreciate forever. That doesn't work all of the time. But if you're buying gold stocks based on the notion that the U.S. dollar is going to crash, you're essentially speculating in foreign exchange. But if you buy gold stocks based on a post-bubble deflation where costs will fall relative to bullion price, and the earnings will increase, so you're effectively looking forward to a stream of increasing earnings, in which case you're investing in gold stocks, not speculating in foreign exchange. And then the other thing, Jim, on this is that you've got many aggressive equity fund managers out there. And if they see gold stocks outperforming the S&P, a couple of quarters of that, although they may not really be gold people, but they'll have to get in because the action's so good. So this is what I'm saying is ahead of us, Jim, is that last summer in June when I did the study on gold relative to the CRB, that and other timing items suggested that the bear market for gold stocks would likely end, say, October, November, which was the case. And we identified the bear market as being over and advised accumulating gold stocks. But it's going to take a while to really get this all sorted out. And with a rising sector there. So I'll give an example. As Homestake stock was the premier producer in the 1920s and 1930s. And you could buy the stock in 1930-31 for $9 a share. And the price of gold was fixed at $20.67 an ounce. But by the end of 1932, Homestake stock was up about 130%, which was very nice when the S&P had crashed. And their earnings were up about 130% with no change in the price of gold, $20.67 an ounce. It was because the real price went up. And then in March 1933, when President Roosevelt got in office, and he was a weird experimenter, I'll tell you, and he started fiddling around with the price of gold and eventually ended up at $35 an ounce. And that was reinforcing what Mother Nature does anyways, which is the real price of gold goes up. So then your Homestake stock, which could have been accumulated at $9, it went up to $65, nice gain. But in those days, gold miners paid out virtually everything by way of dividend. And so through the mid-30s, on your $9 stock, it was paying $4 a share dividend. Hey, is that good or not good? And, of course, you had the capital gains as well. So this time around in the post-bubble contraction, the gold mining companies will probably build assets rather than pay out dividends. But it's still going to be the premier play that is analyzable ahead of time is the gold sector in a post-bubble deflation. So it's looking good, Jim, and I think we're going to get there.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're still speaking with Bob Hoy, of course, and Bob has selected some headlines he'd like to talk about today. The first one, Wall Street has no idea how to price in banking upheaval.
Yeah. Movers and shakers in Wall Street now weren't around in 1929-1930. So, and then those in 1929-1930 weren't around in the previous crash following 1873. So that's the way it goes. It seems to jump a generation. Yeah. So it seems like a mystery, but they're all the same, these post-bubble contractions.
Now we'll take a look at what's going on in China. China's industrial profit slump deepens on soft demand and high costs. They're maybe not the world's factory anymore.
Yeah, that's an important headline. Their profitability is going away on soft demand. And the costs are still high, but costs will soon break. Most commodities will crash. So
the cloud over China's entrepreneurs raises capital flight concerns. I know it's illegal to take more than $50,000 a year out of China, but somehow people do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's what the government be fearful about is, hey, if we're not making any money at home in China and you've got risk of what the government, they're still communist government, so anybody there is going to say, I'm going to hide some money somewhere. You just have to do it. And very understandable. Yep.
Headline, China gave huge loans to some countries. Now it's spending billions to bail them out.
Yeah, that was, as it was going on, Jim, it was fascinating. You know, into Africa, many countries coming in and building infrastructure, roads, all kinds of stuff, railroads, who knows what. And I thought, well, that's fine. These countries are getting basic facilities improved. And then eventually China will go broke. And that's what seems to be happening, where in the crazy bubble, the railroads and the highways will be there. And this is what happened after the 1873 bubble when Vanderbilt, I think it was, who said it was madness to build railroads from nowhere to nowhere. And everybody had to have a railroad, and you ramp the stock up and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's the more you see, the more you realize that nothing much new out there.
And those countries that took those big Chinese loans are now finding out the secret conditions. For example, Sri Lanka let China rebuild their war-damaged harbor, and now China is parking, you know, a large part of their navy there.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so a little lend-lease going on there subtly that, again, here in the Western world, we're more concerned about the price of the latest gaming station than what's going on around the world.
Yeah. Then there was another one here by a guy who publishes his own stuff under Wolf Street, and I just love the headline, "Free Money Turned Brains to Mush. Now Some Banks Fail." Yep. That's one of the great headlines over many years. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that would be our friend of the show, Wolf Richter, who is on on House Street quite often.
Oh, he's got a good publication. Yep.
Well, I can ask Wolf any question about anything financial, and he can do basically a thesis on it.
Oh, he's got numbers just like that. It's wonderful.
Now, a headline here that has caught a lot of attention. World War II-style rationing of meat, clothing, and energy needed to fight climate change, say UK academics.
Oh, God. They're on the CO2 causes global warming bandwagon, and there is absolutely nothing in physics that supports the idea. There is no link between CO2 and heating. Yeah, the little molecule kind of vibrates at a certain frequency, and then it re-emits the heat that it gets. But you got water vapor, and it has molecules that vibrate over a huge spectrum and overwhelming whatever CO2 is. And then if you take a look at the charts going back a million years of temperature and atmospheric concentrations of CO2, the truth of the matter is that a warming trend, a reversal to a warming trend, leads the reversal to increasing CO2. So it's not CO2 causes heat. It's the other way around. Heat causes more CO2. And where does it come from? Well, as the oceans warm up, it outgasses CO2. They can't, you take a look at any of the gas law, Priestley, Graham's law. God, I can't remember. There's Boyle. All the gas laws, and you'll understand that with a cold water, it can hold a whole lot more gas than when it's warm. So when you get a warming trend, 70% of the Earth's surface is oceans, and it's outgassing CO2. So it's been a wonderful tool for those who would want to impose taxation and regulations. But it's been 30 years of the hype now. And it just ain't working. So I think the public will soon throw off the global warmers.
Celebrities may want to think twice before they go and promote shady deals. The SEC has hit Lindsay Lohan, Jake Paul, Soulja Boy, and others with crypto fraud charges.
Oh, yeah. That's where Hollywood got onto that crypto stock. And, certainly they should get their hands wrapped on this one and hit hard for, using their fame to promote a radical stock. Crazy. Yep.
Yeah, well, we have DiCaprio telling us, Alberta oil sands evil, while he's chugging around the ocean in a super yacht, burning 300 gallons of crude an hour with another yacht behind him with a bunch of so-called models trailing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom had a name for those models that I can't repeat. In
right.
public, yeah. Bob, always a thrill chatting with you.
Jim, very good, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.